It is a pleasure to be here. I was here in August and felt that I had given half a message on forgiveness, and we're going to sort of finish the story, tell some additional things about forgiveness. This is one of the most difficult things that we do as believers or seek to do in obedience to the Lord, and it is worth our while to study this closely and ask for the Holy Spirit to make changes in our own hearts as needed. I'll be reading two passages of Scripture this morning. First, from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, including verses 14 and 15, and then slipping over to Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. We'll be looking at several other passages today, but these we'll read at this time. Matthew chapter 6. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then in Luke 17, verses 1 through 4. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea rather than that he would cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. This is the word of God. Again, let us bow briefly in prayer. Our God and Father, this morning we are thinking of a couple of things. We're thinking of our brother Bruce, who will receive go to the doctors tomorrow and hear the outcome of the procedure that he's endured. And we pray for a good outcome there. We pray that you would sustain his and Sandy's faith and joy, for they know the one whom they have believed. We give you praise for that. And Father, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that you would be our teacher, that you would, by your Spirit, peel back those areas of resistance that we have to the truth of your word, and to expose our, at times, fearful hearts to the beauty and the glory of the gospel of grace, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may notice the title for my message this morning is Forgive, and then what? Sometimes there is more that we need to do than to forgive, and we'll look at what the scripture says about that. When I was here in August, I unfolded from the Lord's Prayer what is surely a most bold and daring petition. It is not just, Lord, forgive me my sins, but Lord, forgive me my sins in the way in which I forgive the sins of others. Lord, treat me in the way that I treat others. And we unfolded the glory of God's forgiveness, that Jesus fully paid your debt and mine, fully paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. And that God is satisfied with the death of Jesus in our place. As one of our hymns says so beautifully, justice God's reigning justice upon his son on the cross, smiles and asks for no more from us. As we have received the forgiveness and the mercy of God, we enjoy then the light of his countenance, a phrase in Scripture that speaks of God's having been reconciled to us and giving us the light, the grace, the presence of his countenance, truly a father's delight. And so we, as grace people, people who have been changed by grace, forgive others as we have received it. And there are four promises that we make when we forgive someone: that we will not dwell on it, meditate on it, roll it over in our minds, that we will not bring it up against that person again, and that we certainly won't talk to others about it. Pray for my friend. He's got real problems, and then we get into the story. And we certainly, fourth, don't allow it to hinder our relationship with this person or stand between us. But the big question for this morning is, what if they don't repent? What if they are even unaware that they have hurt you? Or even worse, if they stand firm knowing that they've hurt you, sinned against you, but aren't doing anything about it, don't seem to care at all. What is your responsibility at that point? Well, please turn with me over to Mark 11, and we want to just look at a couple of verses there. Mark 11, 25 and well, verse 25. What are we to do? The Lord describes in this verse, in verses 24 and 5, that when you are when you are standing and praying before the Lord, you believe that you've received it and it will be yours. But there is a condition the Lord is giving here, that, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespass. So this passage speaks of the necessity of forgiving. You must forgive promptly, even if they don't repent. There's nothing mentioned here of repentance. You're standing there in the presence of God, and if your heart is encrusted with bitterness, you must forgive that person. This calls for a daily honesty and humility when you stand praying. When you're sitting in your prayer closet or prayer chair or however you do it, and someone comes into your mind who you're unable to bless, you're unable to give the light of your countenance to them, the Holy Spirit brings that person to mind, then Jesus commands right then and there, forgive that person. In fact, forgive anything against anyone. This is great news. This is a great opportunity, because there is nothing that anyone can do that can keep you from forgiving them and really keep you from blessing them. No one can stop you from being kind to them. You may not yet be reconciled. For that to happen, the person would need to own up to what he has done. He would have to repent of it before you and ask for your forgiveness. But you see, even if he doesn't do that, you are set free from bitterness. And therefore, as Mark 11 tells you, God forgives you. God forgives you. This is what those in the peacemaker ministry call having an attitude of forgiveness. If I may respectfully differ for just a moment on that, I would say I like better forgiveness from the heart. You have forgiven them. You are not going to hold this against them. You may, however, need to speak to them, and we'll be getting to that in a moment. But this is forgiveness from the heart. Well, the second question then that faces us is, do we have been sinned against? What do we do next? We have forgiven the person, but what do we do next? Do we forbear, or do we seek to work out reconciliation? The principle here is forbear whenever you can. Forbear whenever you can. Practice mercy. How often have you and I been thoughtless and inconsiderate and selfish? I mean, each and every day. Not an hour goes by that we are not that selfish thoughts don't crowd into our minds, and yet the Lord, whether or not we even acknowledge it, the Lord mercifully forgives us and grants us His kindness. There are hundreds of irritants that I'm sure I give my wife in the course of a day, and she does not bring them up to me most of the time. That would be a constant source of needing to deal with all of those irritants. You see, forbearing is forgiving someone without even telling them. Forbearing is forgiving someone without them even knowing about it. You extend, you breathe out mercy and forbearance to them. By the way, that comment you made this morning, I'm forbearing that comment. No, that's not how it works. You don't bring it up. You give mercy. You say nothing. As 1 Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers over a multitude of sins. But there are several questions that you should ask yourself. And if just one of these questions is true, one of these four questions that I'm going to mention, if just one of them is true, then you need not forbear, and in fact should not forbear, but you should go and talk to that person about these things. And the first thing is, if someone's sin is dishonoring to God, that is significantly affects his or her Christian witness, and causes ill to come to the name of God. Someone slices a boss at work. Someone known to be a Christian has a slicing comment against her boss at work. You need to talk to her about that. She represents Jesus, and yet she is acting in a way completely inconsistent with the gospel. So if a person is dishonoring to God. Secondly, if it is damaging to your relationship. You've tried to cover it over with love, but you just can't let it go. Thirdly, if this sin is hurting other people, these are things that you may not forbear and just look away. A mom's overly harsh discipline of a child. A husband who is oppressing his wife or his children. These are dangerous situations which call for a response, and fear and shame can keep these things hidden, these behaviors hidden for years. And it is the church's duty, it is your duty to help the weak, help those who are under that kind of oppression and may not be able to deal with it and be able to respond to it themselves. We are called in that point to do the heavy lifting for the oppressed and may not just forbear, but must come alongside and help. And finally, if it is hurting the offender himself, this offender wakes up every day and it's like Groundhog Day, you know, you just do the same thing over and over again and you just can't break the cycle of sin. He's got a blind spot. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there is some bitterness that you can sense leaking out, but the person doesn't even realize it. This person is caught in a sin, and it is hurting the offender. So in that case, you come alongside and help. And this really then leads us up into Luke chapter 17. So for God's sake, if you may not forbear or cannot forbear, for God's sake, speak to your neighbor. You notice Mark has said very clearly, forgive right on the spot. Forgive while you are praying and something comes to mind. Forgive that person. But Luke here says, when someone sins against you, you speak to him and you call him to repentance. I think we can understand this apparent contradiction by saying that Mark is speaking about a forgiveness from the heart. He's speaking about an attitude of forgiveness that you have towards that person. And Luke is saying, seek full reconciliation. Seek full forgiveness. There is a genius in the gospel, in Jesus' teaching here, a genius of keeping these two things together. You are only, put it this way, you're only ready to do Luke 17 if you've already done Mark 11. You're only ready to restore someone when you have forgiven them from your heart. You see, if you bring a correction before you've forgiven that person, you will be harsh, you will be self-righteous, and you will make things worse. You've tried it before, haven't you? And it just doesn't work. We usually do the very opposite of these things that Jesus commands in these two passages. Instead of forgiving from the heart, what we so often do is remain bitter on the inside, and we allow walls to build up between ourselves and other people. We simply avoid this person and pretend that everything's okay until we maybe forget about it and hope that they do too. And so we live a dishonesty before one another. And it is a tragic thing when this occurs in the family, and husbands and wives and parents and children are not able to bring closure to these things. So instead of forgiving from the heart, we allow bitterness to remain. Or instead of bringing a loving rebuke, we look the other way and ignore. We're so often afraid of our own reactions or the reactions of another person. And so that people go without receiving help for years, and we remain with this polite smiles and yet distance between brothers and sisters. And what a shame this is, because one of the best tools that the Holy Spirit provides for us, it puts in our toolbox, we leave at the bottom, and we don't pull it out, and we don't try to use it to bring about reconciliation in our relationship. So here, forgive from the heart, so that you can effectively bring about reconciliation. Do you hear the logic there? Forgive from the heart so that you can then move into reconciliation. Well, I want you to turn with me to one more passage as we take sort of a quick run through these exciting teachings on forgiveness, and that is to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at the first couple of verses there. Now, it is a New Testament value. It is a New Testament assumption, or it's not just a command. It's a value that we are to share, and that is that we are to live in harmony with one another, to demonstrate the fact that we are, as brothers and sisters, have been brought into the same family, the family of Christ, and so we are therefore to demonstrate harmony. And if we can't do that, if there is something in the way that is keeping us from that harmonious expression that glorifies the gospel and glorifies God, we have a unique opportunity, in the words of Galatians 6, a unique opportunity to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want to share with you something from this passage about what does it mean to bear another's burden as you seek to be reconciled to one another. First of all, it opens up, if anyone is caught in any transgression. Caught, that is a word that carries with it the meaning of being ensnared in sin, trapped in sin. You got your foot in the, you can't get out, you can't move it out of there. And this could be some substance abuse or some deeply entrenched sexual sin that you're not able to shake and you're too ashamed to get help for it. If anyone is caught or ensnared in a sin and you become aware of it, you who are spiritual should restore them. And then you give a great sigh, because that doesn't include you, does it? That's the elder's job. They're the spiritual ones. That's why we're electing them, to do the hard work for us. Am I right? Is that how we read this passage? If you are connected to Jesus and you have faith in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You are then one who is being led by the Spirit to walk even in scary areas because you walk by faith. Besides that, you have a close relationship with this brother or sister that perhaps an elder doesn't have. And if you become aware of it, then it is your privilege, responsibility, opportunity to address that. If anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them. Katartizo, a great complex verb in the Greek that has the idea of a fisherman mending his nets to make it complete, or an orthopedic surgeon who is bringing bones together, connecting those bones, restoring and setting those bones what are broken so that the person can live well. I remember my wife tells me the story of when she was in eighth grade, she was riding bareback and went over a jump, and you might argue that that wasn't a particularly wise thing for her to have done. She did fall off, she did break her shoulder, and she went to the corpsman there in the Naval Academy, at the Naval Academy Hospital in Annapolis, and the corpsman set her bone, but improperly, and later they had to break it, and then reset it again improperly. And they finally sent her down to Bethesda Hospital outside of DC, and she got fixed. Katartizo, she finally got it done right. And so our goal is to bring harmony and reconciliation and healing when we so often instead settle out of fear, settle for distance or mere tolerance. So if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person, but you should do so gently. Do it with gentleness. That is, with a large-hearted, this word gentle has a wide variety of a large area of meaning, a large-heartedness, a generosity of spirit. Being courteous, being considerate of that other person. And it is really, I think, the best way to look at it is simply doing to that other person as you would like them to do to you. Reverse the roles. And how would you like to be treated? Well, that dictates then how it is that you go to that person. You see, if you seek to correct another person, bring even a gentle rebuke to another person, and you have not forgiven that person, you will instead feel superior. If you've not forgiven a person, you will feel superior, and that will leak in the way that you say it. And you want to instead have that gentle spirit. I want to read a letter that one of our daughters sent to my wife some time ago. She was going through a very difficult time at work, and she was being called to do exactly what we're talking about right now. She was being called to approach a superior who had done something that was detrimental to the health of the school in which she was teaching. So she had to do this. And how would she do it? You know, she was just very very concerned about doing this in a proper way. Just a few things from her letter. Healing is possible if there is a desire to move toward the other person, to seek understanding, and to really seek to listen. That's the first thing. If you move towards the other person and you really seek to listen, when I am in a situation of conflict, what I most want is for the other person to want to move towards me. I want them to ask, truly desiring to understand and know, I want them to ask, how has this conflict and their actions or words made me feel? What are my perceptions of the situation? What are my beliefs and ideas about what is at stake? That's what she would like someone else to do to her in a conflict situation. I suspect all of us could agree with that. She goes on, all of this while recognizing that there is a significant difference between being someone who is willing to hear and someone who actually desires to really listen. A person who actually desires to listen will ask questions, will be truly seeking, will try to make no assumptions, and will entertain the possibility of change. This requires real relationship, that their internal monologue be, I want to know you and hear you, and that this be framed with humility. I'm not going to assume that I already know, and I cannot yet judge. Therefore, if this is what I would want from them, then this is what I must and I choose to take towards them. Further, I recognize that this is not enough to decide just once, then proceed. This choice is continual, daily, and moment by moment. It happens when I choose not to gossip, when I choose not to turn a cold shoulder, when I choose to keep asking questions, even if their answers have been an attack on me, and when I choose to treat them this way, even if they are not interested in treating me this way. How can you do that? How can you have that kind of humility and interest in the other person? Of course it's hard. Of course it cuts against the grain of our flesh in a major way. But this is the opportunity to bear another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is doing to the other what you would like him or her to do with you. You see, we need the ministry of the Lord Jesus in the middle of this process of forgiveness and reconciliation. We need it desperately. We need to know that we ourselves have been given mercy, and therefore we can follow our Lord Jesus in extending mercy and understanding to another person as we seek to bring about reconciliation. Are you to forgive those who sin against you? Of course you are. And you do so in part so that the Holy Spirit might use you when the time is ready, when it is no longer appropriate to forbear, to be able to go with gentleness in the Spirit of Christ, in the power of the Spirit, to seek understanding and to seek reconciliation. This is really hard. It's not the way we normally think. So I would ask you to consider this. I would ask you to consider towards those people who are the closest to you, a family member, a spouse, a child, a very close friend. Seek to step out, make steps of obedience in this area where it is easier to do so than in some of the tougher cases that may have already come to your mind in the course of this message. Take the easier ones first and see how God teaches you humility and shows you by the power of the Spirit the beauty of reconciliation. And that will encourage you, and that will bring great glory to Christ, and that will be a blessing to both family and church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you grant us not only the commands in your word, but also through the ministry of the Spirit, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, you give us hearts that are inclined to do even hard things for your glory. So we pray that you would speak to each one of us in some particular way today to be able to step out in faith and in obedience, to seek, to pursue, to be undaunted as we seek to live with harmony. We pray these things in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.